welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ update. The first LQ update is that we are indeed going to be Linux World UK bound. I just booked my flight, which pretty much makes my trip official. So if you'll be in or around London on October 25th or 26th, make sure to stop by the .org village, as they call it in the UK, and say hello. And from the looks of things currently, we're probably going to have the largest mod turnout ever, with there being at least 6 and maybe even 7 mods there. Next is the LinuxQuestions.org podcast feedback. The feedback post at the LQ Radio site has just gotten a remarkable response, and comments are actually continuing to stream in. I do appreciate all the feedback, and I encourage you to keep it coming. We really do listen, and feedback to us on all the LQ projects is just absolutely vital. So if you have a suggestion or even just a comment about what we're doing with the podcast in LQ Radio, do head over to radio.linuxquestions.org and let us know. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is Dunk Tank to help meet Debian Etch deadline. The Dunk Tank is an experiment to see how targeted fundraising can improve Debian. Here's a quote from the Computer World article. The brainchild of Debian project leader, Brisbane, Australia-based Anthony Towns, Dunk Tank is an experimental project that seeks to find ways of funding Debian development. That money will then go into paying people to sit down and do useful Debian work, rather than relying on a core of dedicated volunteers to contribute code outside of their regular day jobs. Most developers work on Debian in their spare time, and the developers who do the most work on Debian devote most of their spare time to it. When that spare time disappears, due to work commitments, family commitments, holidays, or sickness, so does the work on Debian, Towns said. To achieve its goal, Dunk Tank is funding release managers Steve Langezek and Andy Barth to work full-time on Etch's release over the months of October and November, respectively. All things going smoothly, Etch will be released on December 4th, 2006, end quote. It should be noted here, and I think the Dunk Tank team has done a very good job of making this clear, that there is no formal association between Dunk Tank and Debian, and in fact, the project was met with some resistance on Debian Private, which is the developer's only mailing list. Even more recently, after the original resistance, there has actually been a resolution to recall Anthony Towns if he doesn't choose to remove himself from Dunk Tank, and then a subsequent resolution to reaffirm Anthony Towns as the Debian project leader. So this definitely has turned into a heated debate in the Debian community. One of the main objections seemed to be the potential that it could ruin the volunteer nature of the Debian project. Done properly, I don't think this has to be the case, but it is something they need to be very, very cognizant of. Overall, I think the idea has merit, and this could set a precedent that results in greater improvements in open source projects, especially in areas that aren't, you know, interesting to the average OSS developer. Part of the scratch-your-own-itch mentality means if something just doesn't itch a lot of people, it tends to not get done. Money is an incentive that can make you scratch an itch that you don't actually have. To be honest, on that note, I'm always surprised how little bounty and payment type systems are used in open source. I suspect it's because we just haven't found the right model yet. Dunk Tank isn't quite ready to accept donations yet. They hope to be ready within about a week or so, but when they do, I think LQ will definitely be chipping into the pot. The next story I have is Managing Gentoo, a study in quotes. The announcement about the Gentoo Seeds project led me to this LWN article. I often talk about the advantages and strengths of open source on this podcast, so I think it's only fair that I also talk about where we're weak and where we can use improvement. Now, I think we all know that open source produces better code. It's just proven time and time again. But if you look at most of the open source projects that have gained mass adoption, and the projects I'm talking about here are things like Firefox, Apache, the Linux kernel, projects at that level, you will notice a few similarities. They do have a somewhat closed aspect to them outside of the actual code, of course. They tend to have a somewhat formalized organizational structure, and even though it differs between them, there is a structure there. And they have a set of defined processes and procedures. I think it's clear that as projects get to a certain size and popularity, they need these things. A while ago, Gentoo moved to a more democratic open system. And from what I'm reading, based on this LWN article, And in the interest of full disclosure, I am not an active Gentoo user, nor do I regularly keep up with the Gentoo community in depth. I have spent a decent amount of time over the last couple days or so reading up as many different sources from as many different viewpoints as I could, and I'm drawing my conclusions based on that reading. And based on that reading, the transition has caused a little bit of problems. Now, to me, when Danny left, Gentoo lost more than its creator. They lost their leader. They're now learning the hard way that consensus can be the lack of leadership, and the result seems to be analysis paralysis, if you will. Now, this isn't something in any way specific to Gentoo, though, and it's an easy trap for any project, open source or not, actually, and especially ones that gain wide exposure, can fall into. And I obviously think that Gentoo falls into that wide exposure category. Losing your leader isn't a death knell, but it certainly exacerbates an already tenuous situation. I think that the Gentoo situation is really underscored by the fact that even the announcement that Danny will be returning was met with resistance. And the issue wasn't at all that he was coming back, quite the contrary actually, he's definitely being welcomed back. But with the process in which his announcement was made that he was coming back, or I guess maybe better stated, the lack thereof, no process. There are a couple lessons to be learned here, I think, and it's an issue that I pay close attention to as the founder and current leader of LQ. It's a topic that I'm going to be thinking a bit about, and you can definitely expect a follow-up on a future podcast about what my end thoughts on this are. In the meantime, I welcome your comments on the subject and are interested in what others in the community have to say. I think it's a topic that is vital to the continued healthy growth of the open source ecosystem. The next story I have is Google testing Sun's Open Solaris. It looks like Google may be experimenting with OpenSolaris, according to a couple of different sources. From the Network World article, quote, Google runs a stripped-down version of Red Hat Linux specifically modified by its engineers. But another source, a Solaris systems administrator who recently interviewed for a job at Google, said he was told the company plans to create and test its own modified version of OpenSolaris. I'm 100% certain that there are literally dozens of people horsing around with OpenSolaris inside Google, said Stefan Arnold, a technology consultant and author of The Google Legacy. Moving to OpenSolaris, he said, would be a natural move for Google, with its large number of former Sun employees and its never-ending drive to push the performance of its data centers to the hilt. But, Arnold said, he doubts that Google, which finished rolling out its highly secret data center in 2004, is deploying OpenSolaris widely yet. Will it quickly replace Linux anytime soon? No, he said. End quote. I think it's clear that Linux is fairly entrenched at Google, especially on the server side of the house. Another point here is literally dozens of people at Google are always horsing around with all kinds of projects that will never come to fruition. You know, as an employee of Google, you kind of get that horsing around time, and that horsing around time does end up producing a ton of projects that do go live, but even more, of course, that do not. That being said, what would the implications of Google dumping Linux for OpenSolaris be for the Linux community? I think from a broad, high-level perspective, it would be twofold. First, Google engineers put a lot of time and a lot of work into various aspects of Linux that end up moving upstream. Losing that would be bad. But in the end, other companies would likely take up most of the slack, which I think that case has been bared out in the past. Now, the other element is the hit to the reputation Linux has. You know, you'll hear the, if it's good enough for Google, it's good enough for foo argument time and time again. While it wouldn't be a ding that Linux could never recover from, and it obviously wouldn't actually impact the quality of Linux in any way, perception means a lot, especially in the corporate world. Why did they make the migration would be the subject of a massive amount of scrutiny, and of course, rightfully so. Google is seen as a very technologically savvy company with extremely talented engineers that really know their stuff. For them to move would be a huge seal of approval for OpenSolaris, and it would definitely open some questions about why they needed to move away from Linux. And of course, I think it's something that Sun would absolutely love to see happen. All in all, right now, this is just another unsubstantiated rumor, but it's definitely one that the Linux world will be keeping a close eye on. I think it's unlikely we'll see Google move away from Linux anytime soon, but in the long term, you never know. The next story I have is Munich begins to switch Windows out for Linux. And this is a follow-up on a story that we haven't heard much about in a while, but I had covered quite a bit in the past couple of years. And here's a couple quotes from the article that appeared in CIO Magazine. Quote, "Munich has begun its migration to Linux on the desktop, a year later than planned, and nearly 3 years since the city announced its move to open source software. There have been some delays along the way, but we are now moving steadily ahead," Florian Schussel, manager of the Linux project for the city of Munich, said Thursday by telephone. "By the end of the year, the city of Munich plans to have migrated 200 computers to the open source desktop environment. Most of these computers are used for relatively simple office communications," he said. "The configuration is based on Linux distribution Debian, GNU/Linux 3.1, the KDE 3.5 user interface, and OpenOffice 2, end quote. So, of course, it's great to see this highly publicized migration finally coming to fruition. While they're certainly behind schedule, a lot of that had to do with the unneeded patent issues that were raised, if you recall, I reported on that. And in reality, most projects of this size and scope end up being behind schedule if they're completed at all. So the fact that this one is being completed, I think, is good. The fact that they added 1 year to the pilot project and still decided to move forward makes it clear to me that they're very happy with both their original analysis about Linux and their decision to move forward with Linux. The plan now is to have 80% of the desktops converted over by the end of 2008. With roughly 14,000 desktops total and some fairly complex processes used by some of the larger departments, it seems like an aggressive but realistic goal. We'll certainly keep watching and report back on the progress. The final story I have is one that's of great personal nature. For those of you who are regular participants at the main LQ site, you'll notice that we recently mourned the loss of a moderator. There are some announcements that you're quite frankly simply never prepared to make and don't think you'll ever have to make, and this is definitely one of those. As I said, one of our mods passed away far, far too young. David, who was known as McLeod9 or as short MC9 in the forums, was a long, long time member, probably all the way back to 2001, and he was actually one of the very first mods and was even a panelist on the inaugural episode of the LQ radio show. He was a quintessential computer enthusiast and had recently turned his hobby into a business that had actually very recently gone into the black, which I know was something he was very, very proud of. He was a guy that you would run into at all kinds of odd hours on IRC and just have a great discussion with out of nowhere. And he'll definitely be missed more than I'm quite sure that he knew. And as I said in the forums, Elky's missing more than a mod now. It's definitely missing a very good friend. As a tribute, we did close LQ for a short time, and out of respect, I'd like to have a moment of silence on the podcast now. You'll definitely be missed, Dave. That is all I have for now, but thanks for listening.